Today's interview is with Lisa Murray. Lisa has just released her book, Living Beyond Burnout, and she reached out to me after, coming across each other in some Facebook groups. What a bundle of energy. It's hard to believe this woman has ever experienced burnout. In this conversation, we talk a lot about burnout, what got her there and what got her out of it, and creativity. Really excited to share this one for you. Introducing Lisa Murray. Welcome to Carlosophy's Stories Behind Success. I'm Carly Nimmo. It's so easy to fall into comparisonitis as an entrepreneur, and it can be paralyzing. In my own journey, I've come to understand that regardless of your level of success, fame, or fortune, we're all suffering from the same stories of fear, struggle, and failure. So let's talk about it.
Like 10 years ago, I had burnout. I'm so bad at time. I always think that, it was just like a few years ago, but I worked out this morning, it's 10 years ago. And when I say burnout, like the kind of burnout that your brain cells aren't rubbing together. There's nothing going on between all those little bits. And I couldn't really speak. I had no short-term memory. I was like hardly able to sit up. And so at that point, I was like, oh, wow, I need to do something different here. It was really interesting in the beginning because I quit my job because I literally couldn't keep doing it. And then I was like, well, what am I going to do with my life? That was a really tough question because I'd spent years wanting to have a business but not having a business because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And you can imagine how this goes, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a really interesting space to be in because all of a sudden, not only do you not know what you want to do, but you're exhausted. And I was doing an MBA, I was renovating my house, and I kind of kept them going. I have no idea how when I look back. Like, you know how you look at it and go, that's a miracle, really, that I managed to keep going. But somehow I did. My mum used to come and check on me every day. And somewhere along the line, it started to get a little bit better. And it wasn't a fast recovery because I went and did a lot of what I would call the normal things for burnout recovery, and they didn't really work on me. They didn't make that much difference. And so I had about a year where I was just getting by, I think it's fair to say. And then I found Access Bars, which is it's an energetic process, all these different points on your head. And that changed things very quickly for me. And so for the first time, I was like, oh my gosh, I've actually got space. I've actually got some clarity here. And in the meantime, I had started business coaching because I realized that it's something I had done all my life, but I never knew you could get paid for it. Like, I just was like, yeah, let me help you with your business, and it was natural to me. So I'd been doing that and it was really fun. And then what I realized once I got clear on the burnout and what it was really all about and what needed to change for it to change, then it just became an adventure. And so really the last sort of 8.5 years have been this adventure in creating different businesses, in finding different ways to energize myself, because what I didn't want to be was the person that all the people who were treating me said I was going to be, which was, well, Lisa, you'll probably end up with chronic fatigue or MS and in a wheelchair. And I was like, that's not really going to work for me. We need to find a different way forward here. And they were all just looking at me like I was crazy, but I knew there was something else. And literally that brings us to this present day, yesterday, where I launched the Living Beyond Burnout book. And it's taken a lot of experimentation, I would say, to really get a model that works, like a system that works and that will work much quicker than what I did it. So, really, it's like there's been this whole adventure for these past few years in like, well, what's different? And I've, spent a lot of time going overseas, teaching creativity, all sorts of things like that. And all of these things eventually just came together into this one neat little package. So, that's it. Sort of cool. In a nutshell.
So what led you to the burnout? What happened before the burnout?
Yeah. Well, I'd had burnout actually 3 times, or I say 3.5 in the book, because there was one after that where I was with someone who was a narcissist, and that's a bit different though. Mm-hmm. But the ones before, it was like, okay, so on the surface, you would say it was like overwork. Like, I was addicted to work. I loved working, and I would just work and work and work because I loved it and it was fun for me. And at the first 2 times, I didn't know it was burnout. So I was just like, oh, I'm a bit tired. Let me go on a holiday and then I'll be okay again, When I look back, it was so very clearly burnout. And literally from the very first time, I think that had some effects on my body that were continuing for quite a long time. So that's the surface level sort of picture of it. But I didn't really ever get to it until this guy that I met, he said to me one day, well, so what is it you're not changing? Like, what won't you change? What are you refusing to change? And I was like, oh, everything, you know. And what it really was for me underneath it all, I think, is that I thought I had a great life. But actually, it was a great life by other people's standards. It was a great life by what people think you should have if you've got a corporate job. It wasn't a great life by what I'm capable of, by what I could be living. Like, I have a great life now, and I know there's so much more still to come, you know. So for me, it was that thing of kind of living in a really stagnant space but not realizing it. And my body was just like, you don't get to do that. And so, yeah, that was really the thing that started changing it. That was one of the first things that actually where there was some real change was I got to this realization of, oh, my life could be so much better. And, of course, I had to learn not to overwork. And so that led me into all the creativity stuff. Like, I also had anxiety 24/7. So there was this thing where I was, not only was I burnt out and tired and exhausted, but I was anxious, I was overwhelmed, you know, like all those things, I had them all going on at once. It's a really pretty picture I'm painting, isn't it?
I mean, anxiety is exhausting in itself, you know.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, for me, like, you know, I was holding down a fairly full-on job. I was doing an MBA. I was renovating my house. I was attempting to have a social life, you know. And when you put all those things in one bucket without the skills to manage the anxiety, without the skills to manage the overwhelm, you know, and I'm really super sensitive to energy. I was working in a really difficult situation where there was a lot of unhappy people. So, yeah, it was just like, let's build the mountain as high as we can and then just, you know, put some gelignite in there and ignite it. And that's kind of what happened.
Yeah. So yeah. While you've been talking, two words have come to me and over and over and over again. And I wonder if there is something in it. So the two words that kept coming to me were perfectionist overachiever. Do you feel like
totally.
That's where you were?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah. And it came from the sensitivity to the energy, because I could always perceive everything that everyone needed and give it to them without them even asking. And I could, you know, so there's that very empathic energy in there as well. And yeah, totally perfectionist overachiever. Like, I mean, what I'm aware of, because I've worked with a lot of people with burnout since that time, and it's very rare that they're not a type A, unless they are that very energetically sensitive person. And that's kind of a different, you know, it's a slightly different path, but the results are the same. Yeah, but totally perfection, you know. And I'm very grateful. One of my mentors a few years back, he said to me, what if you're too wonderful to be perfect? And it was just this thing that just changed my entire reality, because I didn't have to try anymore. And then, of course, all the other things started to unravel with a lot more ease. And yeah, I mean, and now the overachieving, it's very much in a different way. Like, it's really for fun. My general point of view on business is, if it's not fun, I'm not doing it. So it's moved very dynamically in this time, and not without some work, I'm going to say. It wasn't like, oh, I'll just flip a switch and it'll all be nice and, you know, happy. There's been lots of different things to go through, but it's been worth it, so worth it, so worth it.
Like, I would love to explore, if you're open to it, some of the path of you moving from being the perfectionist overachiever, the things that you've had to do to move through that.
Yeah. Wow. I think the first thing is that I had to actually know when to stop, because I could always see how something could be incredible, right? Because I'm quite the futurist just naturally by who I am. And so I had to actually go to myself, okay, I have to acknowledge that I'm aware that, yes, I could take it to this level. Does anyone want it at that level? You know, and literally I've had to ask myself and the projects I've been working on, well, does anyone want this level? When is enough? And like when I write, for example, I ask my books to tell me, because I work very energetically. And so I literally ask them, okay, can you tell me when you're done?
Oh my God, and so I need to do that.
Well, you know, it's quite miraculous, because what happens is it will tell me it's done way before I think it's done. Like, even this book that I've just put out, like, I would have loved to give it another two good edits, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful to all of the people around me who've known me for long enough to go, Lisa, the book's done, shut up and print it, you know?
Yeah.
And it was really good to have that. And I'm just so grateful for those people who were just like, no, move forward. Like, I was like, oh, do you think it needs a different name? You know,
totally. I mean, I've been writing a book for over a year and a bit now. And and I'm on the second draft.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've started it. I can't, like, I've written it, I've pulled half of it and thrown it away, and then rewritten the first half, and then different names, and then different ideas for another book, and then, you know, all the distractions going on. And I just want to finish the fucking book.
Look, I hear you. This one took me most of that 8 years. And when I say it, there was times where I didn't work on it for 2 years, you know, like there were big gaps in there. But it's a similar thing where, and what I would say about that is, ask the book to show you what it wants to be. Because, like, and this is what I do with all my projects now. Instead of me overthinking it, because I was the very awesome overthinker, oh my gosh, ridiculous. And I realized that that never took me to the place which would give people what they needed. Because I could see all the, my brain is like a library. I could see all the possibilities, and then I would just be sitting there frozen because I didn't know which one to choose. And so what I've come to is I ask the idea or the project or the book or whatever it is to tell me, well, what do you want to be? You know, and then it shows me that energy. It shows me the information. And then I create to that. And that is a much easier way of doing it, actually, than looking at the 10,000 possibilities.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, for me, I've struggled with the writing it for somebody else. You know, it's like writing it so there's enough value in it for the people who need to read it. Yeah, exactly. And then I had this moment while I was talking to my book coach a few weeks ago, and you know, just getting clear on the bit that I'd ripped out of the book. And she had said, I've just realized you're writing this book for you, you know, as a healing experience for you. And it is kind of like that, right? Like when you're writing about your experience, there's this process where you kind of go into it a bit energetically too, and you're feeling all the feels of when all that stuff happened. And then it's also healing in a respect as well.
Yeah, look, totally. And, you know, because this was the book I tried not to write, right? Like I was like, I'm done with that topic. I'm over it. I don't need to write that book. I'm done. And it would not go away. It was just stalking me, you know. And what I realized was I did have to write it. And the funny thing was I left out a lot of my I didn't put a linear version of my personal story in there. And I sent it off to the beta readers and they pretty much all wrote back with that one piece of feedback. Mm. Well, where's your story? I couldn't piece it together.
Yeah, that's what I'm struggling with too.
Yeah, well, so what I did was I put a really short chapter in the beginning that is, here's the linear story.
Yes, that's what I've done. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it actually worked very well. And then I was like, oh, good, okay, everyone can feel relieved now.
Yeah.
Because what they do is in their mind, they're trying to piece it all together, but they've got the burnout and then they can't and, you know.
Yeah.
And so that was a really cool thing just to be willing to just linearly write the basics of it. And I've noticed for people that they're just so relieved that I did that.
Yeah, that is so cool. Oh, my God, this is such a weird conversation. because that's exactly what I did. I was like, you know what? Because from the start, I was like, my book is about my life, but it's also about the lessons that I've learned throughout the trend, you know, and where when you're writing your own story, it's like, where does it start? Because does it start at birth or does it start here? And so I've struggled with all of that stuff. But the initial idea was for me to write chapters of bits of my life around a lesson that I learned. But sometimes that story isn't linear because that lesson happens over a period of maybe, you know, five different chapters of my life. So, so then when I ripped out the first half of the book, it was because it was a linear story and I felt like it was boring, you know, not boring in a judgment to myself way, but it wasn't what I wanted it to be. It wasn't what it wanted to be. Yeah. So then I ripped it all out and started writing lessons and put, a chapter with a linear timeline of what actually, that is so cool. Well, there we go.
Look, it's a good way to do it. And, you know, the funny thing was in the writing of this book, I literally saw the model of what I've been living. Like I saw the system for it because I was doing it. Like, you know, when I got burnout, no one talked about burnout. The reason I didn't know I had burnout those first 2 times was because no one talked about it. You know, it was like this secret hidden thing which you had to be ashamed about. And I knew really, like, I can see the reason I've had to write the book is to stop that in the world, to actually remove the shame from it. Because it's not something shameful, it's just an invitation to change. That's all it is, you know? And I think it's really interesting when you write, because literally this book, because I also have had many drafts of this book and, you know, many titles and all sorts of things over the time.
And I've got a lot of domains, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the huge collection.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I've got this relief now. As they come up for renewal, I'm like, oh, thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah, totally.
And it's so nice to actually have that clear out, you know, because I finally got the clarity of what I wanted it to be. But it's really interesting, I think, when you write something that's quite personal, because it takes you into these spaces and you start to see yourself from a different perspective as well. And that's been really interesting for me, is to go, oh, you know, I know it looked like I was crazy on the surface, but when I see it all put together in this book in this way, I wasn't crazy at all. I really knew what I was doing, but it just wasn't linear.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like the other thing that, you know, you were talking about you being able to then see kind of the process, because I find that, you know, my story is similar in some respects in that nearly 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with depression. And it had really come from me being disconnected from the truth of who I really was, you know, and I had become so numb to my emotions that I, you know, just was numb and lost. And so the past decade has been me, you know, learning to know, like, and trust myself again, feeling my emotions, being okay with them, you know. Yeah, but it's been such a process. And people say to me sometimes, well, you know, how do you do all the things that you do, and how do you prioritize you first, kind of stuff. And that's been a process, you know. It's not like you just wake up one morning and suddenly you know what your purpose is and your life is brilliant. Like, it's an ongoing process. And most of the time you don't know how you went from zero to where you are until you go down and you sit down and you're like, oh yeah, and then that. Oh yeah, and I learned that. And then, oh yeah, I did that. And so it's such a gift to be able to put that all together and hand it to somebody else.
Oh, totally. Because, you know, when I had burnout, there was no resources. There was nothing. There was just people saying, well, have treatment for the rest of your life. And I was just like, I'm sorry. That's not acceptable to me, you know. And to be able to put it into something coherent, I was really excited, actually. And it's funny that I resisted it for so long. And yet when I finally got to it and made it coherent, I was just like, oh, wow, definitely this needs to be a conversation in the world, you know. But, yeah, when you're living it, you're just living it. And it's just this thing where you're just going along day by day. You know, there's a day-by-day element to it that I think people want. You know, one thing I see a lot is that people want instant answers.
Absolutely.
And when you get to this space where you're talking about, because, you know, mine also was very much, you know, my spirit was just dying on the inside because I'd lost all the creative energies. You know, I was working in a really not creative job. But my only creativity was, well, how could I find a different way to manage the people who weren't performing, you know, which is really not a fun thing to be doing. And so, yeah, like, to actually sort of bring all those things back in, it's not overnight. And I look at it and I go, wow, you know, I think the medical model in the world is so broken, just so broken. Like, my doctor tried to give me antidepressants because I was crying in her office. Well, of course I was crying because I couldn't freaking stand up, you know. And I was expected to do one hell of a huge job that probably should have had three people doing it. And I'm so glad I didn't take the antidepressants at that time, because literally that wasn't my problem, you know. And for the people that need it, by all means go there. But it wasn't my problem. And the misdiagnosis, I think, that really happens around these things, and the lack of acknowledgement of the spirit and the being.
Well, it's kind of like, well, you know, you're depressed, so here's some medication to take, without actually looking at any of the things that may have gotten the person to that point. You know, I just had my cousin staying with me, and it's a very, very, very long story, but she has anxiety, as, like, anxiety is kind of pretty rife in my family, and she's experiencing it quite badly at the moment. So she's come to stay with me for a few days. So it's been really lovely to have her around. But the reason she's got the anxiety is because she's in a job which she is taking on way too much responsibility and is riddled with self-doubt about it. And because she seems capable on the outside, because most people with anxiety are pretty high-functioning overachievers who put a lot of pressure on themselves, the work just keeps getting piled up and she's not in a place where she can say, this is not okay.
Yeah. My boss, I had a month's sick leave before I left my job. My boss saved up my work. My team were willing to do it. They were like, we asked him what we could do and we said we would do it. And he said, no, leave it for when she comes back. Now that, I think that was the thing that made me quit actually, because I was so horrified that anyone would treat someone like that, you know? And besides the fact that I couldn't really physically do much anyway, but like, I was just like, I can't live like this. But you're right about the high functioning and the achievement and the anxiety, because literally I didn't know how to say no back then. And it's taken me years, years to learn how to say no. And I'm getting a lot better. I've got to say that. Yeah,
but it's a practice too, right? It is a practice where you're like, you know, I have moments, I was a fairly headstrong kid and then really lost that through as I got older and as I got into work and, you know, felt, I don't know, deep senses of responsibility and duty, very afraid of authority and, you know, all that kind of jazz where it's really my natural nature is to question and to be a bit of a rebel. And so I wasn't doing all those things, which also I think led to my depression because, you know, I wasn't speaking up. And and it's just, I find it really, really interesting because I feel like a lot of those, you know, a lot of the illness that we experience, particularly with burnout and depression and anxiety, it all comes from not living a life as who you really are.
Oh, totally. Like, totally. Like, and I can see it in the people that I meet now who are in that. And, you know, and there is that. And the one thing I do want to say about anxiety, though, because that was one of the first things I got to change. And I was so glad because it actually took this huge layer off me. And the one thing that I realized, or when I say I realized, that someone told me, and it finally sunk in, was that because I was so aware of everything, the anxiety wasn't mine. I was aware of everyone else's stuff. I was aware of all their doubt, all their fear, all their everything. And once I started going, okay, is this anxiety mine? Yes or no? And making myself just get really clear about that, it changed things so dynamically. And I would just ask to return all of it to sender, like just thank you very much, return to sender. What is my awareness look like for me? And that one thing, and I learned that from Access Consciousness, and honestly, it changed my life beyond recognition. Such a simple thing, you know, and literally because what I realized was 99% of that anxiety was not mine and I was just being at the effect of it and picking up on everyone else's stuff. Now I barely have a time when I'm anxious. Like it's so rare I get surprised, you know, because I've been so consistent in just, you know, running that process, like just being, okay, is this mine? No. Okay, goodbye. You know.
Yeah, and I love that. That's a really cool, cool idea.
It is. It is and it works and it's simple. And because for a lot of us who are like what we're talking about, like, you know, someone said to me probably about 18 months after I left my job, they said, well, you're a high functioning autistic. And I was like, what? Because, you know, it was another one of those sort of moments where you're just like, what? And because I didn't feel very high functioning at the time, right?
Yes.
I was like, I'm barely getting by here. What do you call high functioning?
Well, I think this is another trait of people who are, you know, high functioning overachievers is that we also feel lazy.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and this was the thing because I still wanted to do everything. And I have had a big journey of learning to be first, work and create with the energy first, and then do. And I'm so grateful, you know, really, like even though on the surface it sounds like a lot of hard work, I'm so grateful for everything that's gone on because it's shown me this totally different way of living that is actually really pleasurable and really playful. And so you get to this point where 99% of your life is marvelous because you kind of move past all these things we're talking about. And, yeah, I just
think... Yeah, I think when you're not resistant because... Like, I'm not sure you could ever be without struggle or without anger or without, you know, sadness, because I do believe that there's a spectrum and we need to be experiencing all of it. In order to experience the highs, there are also going to be lows. But I have found that the more I've worked on myself and the more I've gotten to know, like, and trust myself over the years, and the more I stand in my power and I own who I really am, now I can move through it really quickly because I have no attachment. So I don't, like, with the anxiety, part of it is that you're holding on to it too. You know, it's very hard to let that go. So these days, when the anger comes, when the sadness comes, when my grief comes, and it does, it just moves through me very quickly. Where before I used to attach myself to it and then get stuck in the stories that would lead me further and further, you know, down the shit spiral. Where these days it just comes, I feel it, and I welcome it, and then I move on. So then you can kind of, like, there's just a lot more ease and flow because you're not getting stuck in the stuff.
Yes. You know, it's presence. What you're talking about is presence, being totally present with what is in that moment. And, like, for me, then I'm like, okay, so what is it? And what do I do with it? And how do I change it? And literally, when it's the lack of resistance, and you know that thing where you ignore things, that you shove them under the carpet, that's really what creates all of that trauma that we've been talking about. And when you just go, okay, I'm just going to look at this thing. I'm just going to sit here with it. I'm just going to be present with it and see, well, you know, what can it contribute here? Without making it into a story and without going, oh my God, I'm going to die. Because, you know, that's
sometimes how it feels, I'm going to let everybody down and nobody's going to love me anymore and, you know, all of the things.
Yes. Well, there's so many, isn't there?
Yeah.
And it's like this thing of presence. And I talk about this in the book because it's like when you find that courage to be just really present with whatever is in front of you, almost nothing is a problem because you're just like, oh, I can see a way forward with that, you know.
Yeah, because half the problem is that your head's in the sand. You're not willing to look at it. And then it's this big looming thing that you can just feel the heavy energy of it looming around, where if you just actually turned to look at it, you'd realize it was just a shadow, you know. Like when you're a kid and you're looking at the wall and there's like this big scary thing and you turn the light on, it's like, oh, yeah, no, it's actually not there.
Yeah, exactly. There's no monsters in the closet, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
So you mentioned the access consciousness thing a couple of times. I'd love to know a bit more about that. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, okay. So it's, what would you say? For me, it's a way of being in the world, right? It's a way of actually living that, and like they do a lot of energy clearing. There's a lot of body processes, and I'm very grateful for the body work because it actually regenerated my body quite substantially, you know. So they have all these different ways, but basically it's about being more conscious, being more alive, being more aware, and having the tools to deal with that in a way that allows ease and peace and joy. And so I am very grateful. You know, I've done a lot of different classes and it's changed a lot of things for me over the time. And it's like been one of the things that really did make a big difference in how I got better and how I, you know, now get to live the fun life that I really wanted to be living in the first place.
I was just going to say, so what were the other processes and things that you tried during, you know, your healing journey?
Yeah, look, in that first year, oh my gosh, I spent so much money on acupuncture and nutrition and massage and all the what I would call the normal self-care things. And what I really got to at the end of that year was I felt slightly better, which isn't saying much considering where I was. And so that was not fun. And I was like, okay, something's got to change here, you know. And that's actually when I found Access. I went to Mind Body Spirit Festival and they had a picture of what they call Access bars, and it's all these different points on the head. And my body was just like, there, go over there. And so I did, and it just instant change pretty much, which for me was a miracle at the time, you know. So I did all that kind of normal self-care stuff, realized that's not really where it's at. Obviously, I did have to change how I work.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing is, it's like you sometimes have to go backwards to go forwards. So I went back to barely doing any work for quite a while, or, you know, and I've had different times of this over the years, but then I learned to work in a different way. I taught myself different ways of working that weren't stressful, that weren't exhausting, that actually allowed me to energize myself through my work rather than using up my energy in my work. And so that was a really important part of it. And I think together with that was the creativity. Like I spent a lot of time really connecting back with that all the creative energies. And, you know, that doesn't mean just, you know, painting art, you know, although I have done a lot of that. And it's been really fun.
A lot of creativity for me just comes in expressing myself.
Yes, you know?
Which is so underrated, because it's like most people think to be creative, it means that it has to be crafty or whatever. But for me, it's about expression, and expression doesn't have to be in an artistic sense. It can be in any sense of the word.
Yeah. Totally. And like I wrote another book actually last year called Stop Waiting, Start Creating. And in there I talked about, for me, that like the definition of creativity is literally doing something different. And that's something that I've really lived with a lot over this last 9 years, is instead of always doing the same things and living the same ways, it's like, okay. And I've really tried to have a different year every year to see what I would like. Like, it's been just this long series of adventures and experiments, you know, because when I had been, I didn't even know what I liked anymore. I didn't even know what made me happy. I remember this psychic saying, you need to make a list of like 25 ways to be creative. And I was like, you've got to be joking, right?
Yeah.
I was literally like, if I can get to 5, that'll be a miracle. And it took me quite a lot of, you know, like I had to try to get to 25. It took me quite a few months, I know, I think.
It's so weird, right? Because it's like with the depression and the anxiety, it was the same thing. It was like, you've just got to, you know, you just got to figure out, you know, what your purpose is, what you love, like follow your bliss. And it's like, that's so easy to say, but when you have become so disconnected from yourself that you actually don't even know what happiness is like, it's very hard to then go, oh yeah, I could do all these things, make me happy. It's like, you have no idea what makes you happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like, you just got to play, I guess. Is that the process that you use?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. There's play, there's spontaneity, and there's curiosity. And obviously all of those together end up as creativity, you know, ultimately.
Yeah.
But those three energies, for a long time, I was like, okay, how do I add those things to my life? And I was very, I would think about it. I would actually like look for it. Whereas now it's just naturally there, you know.
Yes.
But in the beginning, I had to retrain myself into those energies. And I think the curiosity was the first one, because when you're very busy and exhausted, you lose your curiosity really quickly, because you're just too tired to even look at those things.
Yeah, I was going to say those three things aren't really they're not things that type A's generally gravitate towards.
They don't value them, do they? And I would say I was like the most resistant person in the world. Like, when people were saying things like this to me, I was like, oh, that's stupid. You know, but then I realized nothing was changing. And so really I came to this really crux point where it's like, well, if nothing's changing and people keep saying these things, maybe I should try them, you know. And it's funny because I've written the book from that perspective of, I know you're going to resist all these things I've written, you know. And yet once you start being willing to try them out and to explore them and to play with them, then it very quickly can change. And this is what I've seen over and over with people. It's like, and if it was one thing I would say to people, I was like, let go of your resistance. Just be open-minded. Because for me, I think the resistance was the thing that slowed me down dynamically. And I could have been better a lot sooner if I hadn't been learning that resistance.
It's so interesting, right? Because I think you get to this point when you're on this kind of journey where you become aware of the resistance. But before that, it's just kind of what it is. It's like, no, fuck you, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
but then as you go along and you become more and more, I guess, self-aware, there becomes points where you're like, ooh, this is resistance. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I should go there, you know?
Yeah.
So you just become quicker at moving through that stuff again because you have so much more awareness about what it's trying to show you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think awareness really is a key part of all of this as well. I didn't know I was aware. Like, I didn't know that most people didn't function like me. You know, when that guy said to me, you're high-functioning autistic, I was just like, what? Because he literally described my brain. And I was like, you just described my brain. He's like, yeah, honey. And I just, it was astonishing to me because no one ever could figure my brain. They were always like, I don't know how you do that, you know? And when this guy told me, I was like, oh, right, there's a thing. It's a thing. And And that was amazing because it was the beginning of not making my way of functioning wrong, because I'd always made myself so wrong for being so different with it all, you know, and all of a sudden I didn't have to be wrong. And so then, of course, once you're not wrong anymore, you can move out of the resistance. But if you're all, you, for me, the resistance is very much like, I have to get it right. And so if it wasn't, you know what I mean? So there was always this thing that was just triggering the same stuff over and over. And, you know.
Yeah, because there's like this deep shame or something in being wrong a lot of the time,
yes,
you know, and, or yes, being pointed out. And I feel like, you know, it's why imposter syndrome is such a big thing with women, because we don't want to be pointed out that we've gotten it wrong or,
yes,
you know, yeah. And so we're afraid then of speaking up, because what if we speak up and someone challenges us and, oh my God, the I couldn't handle the confrontation.
It's insane. Yeah, yeah. And it's so true. And, you know, one of the things that this guy gave me, which I was very grateful for, was, what if I'm not wrong? What if I'm just different? And literally to look at that over and over and over and over, I got to this point where I was like happy to be different. And then, of course, you can be that in the world. And then you're being more who you are, and it starts to flow in a really different way. You know, and I think this is the whole thing with, you know, burnout, creativity, all these things. It's like, it's just a call to be who we truly are in such a way that you never apologize for that. You know, like, because I saw how much I had to move from being sorry for everything, just about, you know, to actually going, oh, that's what I'm choosing. And just, that's it. No apology on the end, no anything, just, yeah, that's what I'm going to choose, or that's how it is for me, you know. And that's just been such an interesting journey, to just be willing to actually be different, you know, because many times I've done things that people thought I shouldn't with along this journey, like, I, you know.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people just can't, yeah, judge, absolutely.
You know, and that, and, you know, there's been a lot of judgment, and I've become really good at saying, well, it works for me.
Yeah,
and
that's absolutely.
It. I'm not going to explain it. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going
to
say,
yeah, no, I don't have to justify myself to you. Like, no. I did just write down, which I think is, like, I really love it, you know, what if it's not wrong to be different?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Well, it's not. It's absolutely actually what the world is asking of us, you know. And this is really the last part of my model in with the burnout, is going to the brilliance of you, because you didn't come here to be like everyone else. You didn't come here to fit in. You know, I mean, look at the world. We all agree it needs a few changes, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like, well, that's not going to come from the people who are keeping the status quo in place. It's going to come from us who've got the courage to go, there's a different way forward here.
I did have one question about, so 10 years ago, when you kind of reached that point of burnout, did you just stop working? And
yeah, I had to. I couldn't get out. I couldn't stay out of bed. Like, my mum came over every day for the first 2 weeks, and she's like, "Can I get you some food?" Like, she knew I lost my largely lost my marbles. You know, like, I'm pretty surprised I didn't end up in hospital when I look back. You know, because I had nothing. I just was this little shell of myself. You know, so yeah, it was pretty full on.
So you quit the job. You're bedridden. When does the idea that, hey, I could work for myself kind of land for you?
Yeah. Well, I think that idea was always there, like, since I was young. You know, we were a very entrepreneurial family, like, my parents, going back to both generations, everyone's very entrepreneurial. So that idea was always there, but the idea of what to do was not always there. And I actually ended up going, because I had tried many different things over the years. I had tried the career counseling, like, I'd done all those things to try and work out what it was I wanted to have as a business. And none of it really gave me anything. So I was kind of just shuffling around random jobs just to see if it was interesting for me, you know, because I was looking for something that would be exciting for me. And none of the jobs were that I had. And so then I was like, oh, okay. And then I was in this place where, you know, I couldn't get my shit together at all, really. I ended up going to see a life direction psychic. She pretty much gave me a strong talk, and you know, and she was awesome, though. I'm so grateful to her, because literally I would not be here now in this way if it wasn't for her. And she gave me this huge strong talk, and she's like, well, you know, what are you good at? And I'm like, oh, business is easy for me. And she's like, right, you're a business coach. And literally, but she also told me to write. And so, of course, I started with the business coaching because it was easy. And that was maybe, I don't know, a few months in. I can't really remember. I started up various other little businesses first, and they were all terrible ideas. Like, and I would just randomly, you know, work my half an hour a day or 2 hours a day or whatever I could get my body to do. I usually did stuff from the bed, you know. Literally, it was more like, I'll just, just do it in the most relaxed way possible. But it, so there was this kind of thing where for a little while there, I didn't have much going on. And then the business coaching, even that was a very slow start in that I could literally manage one networking event a week, like energetically, like that was about it. And I would have to really work myself up to get to that, you know. And so I would just ask energetically, well, which is the event? Where would there be a client for me? And so literally, I think that like the first six events I went to, I got six clients.
Wow. You know,
and that was, yeah. It was amazing. And I was so grateful for that awareness to do it that way because I didn't have the energy to do it the way people thought you should, you know. And I would just go and allow my body, the universe, to guide me and see what showed up. So that was the beginning of it. But then I realized that I didn't want to do that. I ended up getting to that point of like, you know, doing like 20 hours of coaching a week. And I didn't really enjoy it at that level.
That's a lot of space to hold for people.
Yeah. And, you know, and I was living up the coast or at the Gold Coast, depending on which time it was. And I was traveling to Brisbane for most of that. And I was just tired again. I was like, and my body actually had a little meltdown. It's like, we're not doing this anymore. And like when you fall asleep at the wheel and then you wake up and you're like, holy shit. Then you're like, okay, wake up call, you know. So that was really clear to me that that was not the way to keep going. And so as those people dropped off, I just didn't replace them. And I realized actually that that wasn't what I really wanted to do. So the writing is really the thing where I've traveled overseas a lot and I've taught people a lot about being creative and creating their businesses in creative ways. And so those things have been really fun for me to explore. I think that it's this thing where you just got to be willing to go on the journey. A lot of people want their business to be perfect in the first month. And I was really willing to go on the journey because I knew that I didn't know. I knew that, you know, all those years of searching had not turned up the thing I needed to do. So I needed to do it a different way. I had to go forward in a different way. And so that thing of just having the adventure, and oh my gosh, I've had so many awesome adventures as a result of that, that I would never give up for the clarity of instant knowing of what I, you know, should, in inverted commas, do.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of us are waiting for all the answers, right, before we move forward. And it's like, no, the answers come when you're doing whatever it is you're doing. And then you can be like, oh, no, I thought this was going to feel really great and it feels really shit. This is not what I'm going to be doing.
Totally.
And try something else. You know, there is something to be said for the throwing shit at a wall approach without, you know, without having attachment to things needing to unfold in certain ways, just really giving it a crack because of that curiosity.
Yeah. Well, you know, it has created me a marvelous life. It was never only about business for me because there would be no point in having a great business and still having the shitty life. Do you know what I mean? So for me, it's created so many different things, like amazing things that I never would have imagined a few years back, you know, just never would have imagined. So yeah, I just think it's so important to be willing to have the adventure, the creative, you know, energies, and just actually explore. Because we get stuck in these little boxes that aren't ours. And if you're not willing to explore what's beyond them, you're going to get to the end of your life and go, well, that was a shit life, you know, and it looked nice on the surface. It's all the stuff that looks very nice and happy on the surface, and yet it doesn't give you that true sense of happiness. So, yeah, that's the thing I really think. Depression, burnout, all these things, they're saying, hey, it's like you are not nearly as happy as you could be. Here's another way. But you've got to be willing to have that adventure.
And you've got to be willing to go on the adventure. This is a process. It's not a, you know, and we do live in this very I want it now society where it's like, just tell me what my purpose is. Just show me how to figure this out. And it's like sometimes you've just got to let all that shit go and just keep showing up, because it's easy to go to someone and go like, which is why I started this podcast, right? Because the stories of success are never, well, I lived a perfect life and then I started a business and it exploded on the first day and I'm just so happy, you know?
No, they're not.
And if he's that, there's a lot of rage sitting underneath there, you know. So it's like they're stories of long-term journeys. But most people want to get there without having to do all the stuff to get them to there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And, you know, there's one thing that's really interesting about that is, like, because I know I'm going to build in the end quite a big business. Like, I'm only just getting started now, you know? And what that journey gives you is the resilience and the awareness that you can deal with anything, that no matter what shows up, it's all going to be okay. And I think if you do that leapfrog and you don't go through that journey and what it is for you, you get to, oh, yes, I'm all fabulous and wonderful, and then it just crashes in a heap because you don't have those inner resources.
Yeah.
And that's what I've seen so often when people are in a hurry, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I get that you need money. But, like, put one thing in place and make money from that and then go on the journey. And that's what the business coaching was for me. It was the thing that just kept me going so that I could go on the journey.
And that's okay, right? That's okay. Yeah, it's okay if you need to go and stack shelves at Woolies so that you can make your other dreams come true, do it. There's zero shame in that.
Yeah. You know, and I still, even now, will ghostwrite for people if the project interests me, because I love to write. This was one of the other things about going on the journey, actually, I want to talk about. Like, I didn't know I was a good writer. So when probably within about that first year, because this psychic had said to me, you know, you need to write. And I was like, oh, yeah, whatever, you know. Like, I wasn't even enthusiastic about it, because I used to be a publicist at one point, and I would watch all the other publicists and how they were doing their writing class, and I was just always feeling left out because I felt like I wasn't very good at writing and they were getting things published, and I was just like, I can't even hardly, you know, I'm just writing media releases basically. And it was one of those really interesting things when this psychic said to me, well, you need to write. I was like, oh, what am I going to write about? Because I thought I had nothing to say. And what was really interesting was I started writing like morning pages, like Julia Cameron's morning pages, just because I also did need to, there was a lot of repressed stuff there that just needed to come out, you know?
Yeah. And they're amazing. And so the morning pages has changed my life.
Yes,
for sure.
Totally. Yeah. And so, but then I realized, oh, actually I can write. And I put a chapter in a book and the editor wrote back to me and she said, Lisa, I didn't really have to edit that. You should keep writing. And I was like, oh, because I was so nervous when I said it to her, oh, my God, like so nervous, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, please be kind, you know. and then she wrote back that and I was like, oh, I can write. And it was like a new epiphany for me. Now, you don't discover those things if you don't go on the journey, you know. And, of course, since then, you know, I've written two books. I've written a lot of other stuff. I've done a lot of ghostwriting for people and I love it. And I remember the day I actually – years later, found this little bit of paper and it's like, what would it take to get paid for writing? Because I thought at that time that would just be amazing. You know, like it didn't even occur to me that was a possibility really. But I was kind of just willing to ask the question. And about probably 2 or 3 years later, I found that bit of paper and I'm like, oh my gosh, because literally I was getting paid really well to write for people as well. So this is where if you don't go on that adventure, on the journey, you don't discover who you are. You miss out on who you are.
Time to kick up your feet and relax. It's On the Couch.
Biggest fear.
That's so interesting. Biggest fear is probably that I will never get to do everything I know is possible in this lifetime. Yeah. I've got some fairly big targets there now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I totally understand that one. And biggest struggle?
Yeah. You know, now there's very little that makes me struggle because I try not to go into that energy. So it's more, for me, it's keeping all the balls in the air in a way that I'm happy with, probably, because I do still drop balls sometimes and I'm like, oh, you know, what would it take just to get better at that? Because I realize that even though I can do detail, I'm actually really a big picture person. And so it's that thing, I think there's a growth thing at the moment of, you know, when you're growing something, but you need a lot of cash flow to grow it to the point where then it gets easy to grow it. It's that crunchy time now. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Failure. What does failure mean to you?
It's just an invitation for change. That's all it is to me. It used to be a whole lot of other things, let me say. It used to be like the most miserable, terrible thing that could possibly happen, and maybe I'll just die now. But now I'm just like, oh, what can I change? You know, and I also look at, well, what is success and what is failure? Because like how you define them really makes a big difference to what that looks like.
Absolutely, you know? Which is why I do this segment on the show, because so often we – well, for me, that what led me to start this podcast was my biggest failure to date. I had $100,000 that I lost in a co-working space that I started in Byron Bay in 2012. Before then, I had never really failed at anything in a spectacular fashion. And this was spectacular. And it, you know, for a long time, it was really personal and I was the failure for a very long time. So you know, for me, it's like it's so important for us to define that stuff, which is really why I, ask the question so that we can get an idea, because everybody frames it differently, but there are themes, right? So the people who have done really big things in their lives and have really thrown a lot of shit at the walls, they're the ones who they're not afraid of failure.
No. Well, it only means something if you allow other people's judgment and your judgment to matter more than what you're creating. And literally for me, like one of the good things about this whole journey has been I've really learned not to be at the effect of judgment, not to judge myself and not to actually take other people's judgment on board as real. And that basically takes that whole energy away from failure to the point where you're just like, oh, well, you can have your point of view. Good luck with that. You know, and it's not really relevant to what I'm creating because I see everything I'm creating and they see maybe 2%. So why would you listen to that?
Absolutely. If they're not in the arena with you, then it's not worth listening. And even then, whatevs.
Pretty much.
So this question I ask, and I'm interested to know if there's still one in your life. So, you know, we all have the voices in our heads that are often talking to each other. Mine do now. So yes. I have like, yes. I still have the little devil and the little angel. if there's still a part of you that is that voice of fear, what does it say most commonly?
There's still a little bit of you're not doing enough because I know what's possible, right? Like I'm so aware of what I could be creating in the world, and it's like there's still a little niggle of you're not it's not enough yet, you know, there's not enough. That's definitely still there. Yeah, that would probably be the main one.
Yeah,
because a lot of the other ones I've killed them off bit by bit, you know.
Yeah, totally.
I've been pretty good at going, oh, goodbye. Well done.
Yeah, totally.
A lot of those nasty little voices are gone now, which I'm very grateful for. But yeah, occasionally there's just the thing of not enough.
Yeah,
you know,
not doing enough, not being enough.
Yeah, particularly, yes, yeah. And it's not a huge thing, but it is there occasionally.
Yeah.
Particularly in times like, you know, even with my book launch, like there were so many things I would have loved to have do for it and I just didn't get to all of them. And there's this part of me which is going, oh, but I wanted to have this and this and this and this and this. And yet I also know it's not a book launch that's over in a day. This is a book that I will continue to talk about it for at least a year, probably longer. You know, and so I also know how to take that pressure off myself now, which I never used to. So I used to, there was a time when I would have literally just gone to not enough and stayed there. Whereas now I go, okay, so I can acknowledge I would have liked this to have been more. I would have liked to have done X, Y, and Z. And what's possible now in this moment? And when I look at it from that space, you know, you don't get stuck in the not enough space.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Okay, so success, what does success look and feel like to you?
It's just really creating what I know is possible each and every day, like literally taking advantage of every possibility that comes to me, being present enough to actually see what's there that's available that I can then use to create something greater in the world. So if I do that, I can go to sleep happy at night because I've responded to everything that's available to me that will create more. So that's, yeah.
My thing is, you know, my idea of success, I used to think it was all the things. But now it's very simple. And it's really just, if I can look at myself in the mirror before I go to bed and be happy or forgiving of what's taken place in that day and who I've been in that day, then that is success.
Yeah, totally. That's beautiful. Yeah.
And so much lighter, because it's like, you know, it's not attached to anything else or what I did. It's attached to how I feel about myself at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that means that I'm living in integrity, which is really important to me, and that I'm, you know, that I'm in alignment and that I have respect for myself, because for a long time there I had little respect for myself, and it's really very important to me. So freedom, lastly, what does freedom look and feel like?
It's the ability to choose, the ability and the willingness to choose, actually. Because people think that, you know, oh, if I have enough money, I'll be free. It's got nothing to do with that. It's literally, are you willing to choose, and are you looking at what choices are available and actually making the choices? It's just this simple thing of we don't realize how stuck in the status quo we are, stuck in the expectations. And so it's like this thing where at the moment where you're stuck in the shoulds, actually, is probably the best way to say it.
Yeah.
So it's like if you start to realize, oh, I'm doing these 10,000 things because I think I should, rather than what would I like to choose? And for me, there's been so much come from just what would I like to choose? What can I choose? And then choosing something.
Yeah, not having judgment about that choice too, right? Because sometimes we'll choose things that, you know, we don't necessarily want to do, like the head in the sand stuff. I don't necessarily want to do my invoicing, but if I make the choice to do it, then it has such a different energy to it than I should do that. It's like, no, I chose it.
Oh, totally. Yes, totally different energy. You know, and this is the magic and the brilliance of choice. It's literally like if you take away that, all that resistance, the shoulds and the must-dos and the necessity and all that stuff, you take away all that resistance and you just go, well, it's not the most fun thing I'm going to do today, but I'm going to do it. Then there's a space. And I usually find with those things, I do them first and I'm like, woohoo, let's go. Yeah. What else is there today?
And then you just feel so accomplished once you've done it, right? It's like,
Cool. Yes. And it clears a space energetically is what I notice, where literally you don't have to, it's literally like you, all that energy that's tied up in, oh, I should, oh, God, I've got to do that thing, oh, it just, all that goes. And then you've got your energy to use for your projects, for your ideas, rather than using it up in basically head tripping.
Yes.
The plug. Instead of filling the podcast with self-promotion, we're being totally transparent. Here's the plug.
This week, you know, my book, Living Beyond Burnout, has come out, and you can find that at livingbeyondburnout.com. And really, it's for people who would like to have more energy. It's not only for people who are on death's door. It's very much for anyone who is just like, oh, there's got to be a better way than this. And it will give you lots of simple ways forward. And you can find the rest of my work, which is a much sort of bigger body of work, at creativealchemy.com. And that sort of covers off all of my different fun projects. You know, I've got like two different memberships. One's about amplifying your energy. The other one's about business alchemy. And I often run a weekly writers group online. So I kind of just have all these random projects. So all the random projects go on the Creative Alchemy website. And in terms of who it's for, it's really for people who know they've got a capacity to lead change in the world, who know that there's got to be something more than this, who are then going, okay, what's the vehicle? How do I do that? How do I move forward with this? And they're willing to actually be that leader, be that change, because I just see so many people who've got something, but they're not willing to take that step. So it's really like when you're ready to like dig deep, find your courage, come and play, you know, and it is playful. That's the thing about all my work. It is playful and, you know, a different way of going forward than what most people live.
The takeaway: exercises or tips for positive change, sprinkled with salt and vinegar, wrapped in newspaper and handed over the counter from our special guest to you.
I just say play every day. That really, if I was to encapsulate everything we've talked about today, if you would play every day and like bring play into your work, bring play into all the different things you're doing, you'll be so much happier, your life will be easier, and actually things will happen without you even trying.
Yes, so true. How many times have you been wrapped up in your shit so much and then just gone out for a walk and, you know, shifted your energy and then something changes, you know. An email comes through or a payment you've been waiting through. Like it creates some space.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and that's it, you know. And it's like if we head towards the lightness, the space, the joy, the ease, because we've kind of been indoctrinated that everything worthwhile has to be hard.
Yeah, hard work.
And I'm pretty much going the other way. I'm like, no, it's not really worth it if it's hard, actually. It's killing you. You actually want to go the way that's got the ease and the joy and the play and the adventure.
Totally. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Carly. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for tuning into Carlosophies. If you really dug this app, I'd love for you to share it with someone who you think might also dig it. It really helps me to spread the word. And if you'd like to get to know me a little better and see some in-between ep thoughts and insights and be around some super cool people, join my Facebook tribe, Show Up Speak Up. Search Show Up Speak Up in Facebook or head to carlynimmo.com/tribe. Until next time, be real, be rad. Peace out.